Hey, welcome to another episode of The Breakdown this week. This week is only audio, so no one can see us.
Let's break it down, man. I can just be laying down during this podcast.
You could.
Might be standing on my head.
Recline.
I know that there's one of my favorite bands. They did a song. When they recorded one of the songs, the lead singer laid on a table and sang the song basically upside down. So you just never know how we might do these podcasts to just proceed, you know, be able to achieve a special level of excellence.
Oh, man, you will not catch me upside down. I can promise you that. Oh, man. So we're in our second week of a series called Why Church. Yep. And specifically this week, we talked about why is it important for church to be with people.
Right.
Church cannot happen without you.
Yeah.
And so that's what we'll focus in on today. But before we do that, I have a question for you.
All right, throw it at me.
If you could insert yourself into any group or team in all of history, where would you insert yourself? You know, you wouldn't change any outcome or anything like that, but you could be there.
Okay.
And so what I'm kind of thinking, I have a couple to kind of talk about. I thought about the 95-96 Chicago Bulls. That was history in the making. You have Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, Kerr in there.
You could be like the 13th man.
Yeah, just set me on the bench. Make me the assistant to the assistant coach.
All right.
Just to see that and experience that, I think would be really cool.
That was my prime basketball year. So, yeah, if I was thinking like basketball team, I would do that. But, if I was giving you the Jesus answer, it would be the 12 disciples. I'd be inserted into that group and – so that would be cool.
Have you watched The Chosen?
We've kind of
talked about that.
I have not I've not completed it, but looking forward to watching the whole thing. So
I think it's in season 2. They have a really cool moment where all the disciples are arguing. Then Jesus comes in after he heals and he's actually doing important business and they're just arguing about silly stuff.
Wow.
And how they react to when they finally realize that what they're arguing about is silly. How they react. That'd be cool to part of that. Yeah.
I've watched all of season 1, and I think I watched the first episode of season 2.
Yeah.
It's almost such an emotional investment for me every time I watch one of those that honestly I've been a little bit dragging my feet because I'm like, oh man. Every time I watch one of these things, I end up crying. So older I get, the more emotional I get.
Definitely understand it because it's so real. And we've invested so much time in studying scripture, like to see it in action is pretty cool.
Yes.
So I think being there would be really neat, kind of seeing how Jesus discipled his disciples.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, of all the groups in history, that's the most famous group. I mean, bigger than the Beatles.
Yeah.
So,
My Jesus answer is I'd want to be a part of Paul's missionary journeys.
Yeah.
I figured you'd take the 12 disciples.
You sure about that?
I am sure.
Okay.
I think it would be... So I got to go to Malta to see, and that's where he shipwrecked. I don't know, just being there was eerie, yet really cool to think that Paul was here at one point. Like, he walked the same area I'm walking. I mean, it's...
Yes.
I don't know if I'd want to experience every single part of
your
journey.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You get the 39 lashes.
Yeah.
The 40 lashes minus one and... beaten with rods. We were reading that part as I finished up 2 Corinthians last night in my Wednesday night class, and Paul is recounting all the things that he went through for the sake of the gospel. And I can see the positives, but whoo, boy, there'd be some challenging bits too.
For sure. And now, associated with the team or group, what moment would you want to recreate or be a part of?
Wow.
I'll go ahead with my sports analogy one first.
Okay.
I would want to be a part of the 15-16 Golden State Warriors season.
Okay.
And the specific moment that I'd want to see, because they had this amazing season, 73-9, is when LeBron James blocks Iguodala in the final minutes of game 7.
That rundown.
Like that, there's a whole Wikipedia page just for that block.
It's pretty detailed.
I think that'd be cool to experience. You put in all this time and effort to try to win a championship, and then it just gets sucked out. I mean, you did have a big lead and you lost it. Mm-hmm. So that's partially your fault. But I think to recreate that moment and be there would be pretty insane, pretty intense.
Yeah, so my sports thing would be the 72 Dolphins, the undefeated team. You know, only undefeated team in NFL history. To be there, to see that, be a part of that, that would be incredibly cool. And so I'd be in that moment when they won the Super Bowl, you know, when it was all finished. They beat the Redskins that year. It's what they used to be called when they had an offensive name, the Washington Commanders. So, yeah, I would be there for that. That would be my sports moment. And, you know, as far as the spiritual side, am I supposed to tell you an answer to that too?
Oh, you can, because I'll follow up with mine.
Yeah. You go first. I don't know.
All right. I'd want to be there with Paul when he's in those final couple of weeks there, just trying to – I mean, he knows what he's about to go through is probably not going to be fun, but yet he still holds on to the truth of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
I think seeing him work through that would be pretty neat, and I think encouraging for us to know, even when times are crazy, sharing the gospel is still at the utmost importance.
Sure. I don't know. I guess I'd say something like the Transfiguration.
That's a pretty cool moment.
I think that would be pretty neat if I was picking a moment. So I don't know, but that's a good question.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the things that we would want to create or recreate, the church cannot be without people. The church is those who are called out according to God, the ecclesia. Mm-hmm. And so really kind of give us a synopsis of what you were going for with this sermon.
Right. Yeah, you know, really simple at the heart of this is that church can't happen without you. We can't accomplish what we're trying to accomplish from a mission standpoint without God's people. And Jesus feels the same way about us as his church. We are what Jesus is doing in the here and now. We are, you know, it's more than a catchy saying that we're the hands and feet of Jesus.
Yeah.
This is what we're literally supposed to be doing now. The mission that he's left us on is the mission that he began in his earthly ministry. We're supposed to be the ones carrying that on, and if we aren't, it isn't happening.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a great responsibility in that. So there's that side, there's that aspect of it. There's also the very critical aspect of we belong to one another as the body of Christ. So you support me, you encourage me, you build me up. I support you, I encourage you, I build you up.
Yeah.
You know, you are there to speak hard truth to me, I'm there to speak hard truth to you. You're there for me when I'm broken and defeated, and I'm there for you when you're broken and defeated. Mm-hmm. I'm there to celebrate with you in moments of celebration. You're there to celebrate with me in moments of celebration. This is what a family does, and that's what the Church of Christ is supposed to be.
Yeah.
So those are really the two critical elements of this, is that responsibility that God has left us, you know, the responsibility we have to Jesus himself and his mission, and the responsibility that we have to our brothers and sisters in Christ. We got to take that seriously.
Yeah, I think it's important to start off with the mission that God has given us, or Jesus has given us through the Great Commission, to go out and to teach people, to baptize people, to go and find people, to share the gospel with them. I think without that, it's hard to have a basis for encouragement of one another within the local church.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the gospel is first and foremost what fuels us to do that second part.
Right.
At least that's what I saw from your sermon. But the second part where you talk about Philippians chapter 2, I think it's verse 4, it says, let each one of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Yeah. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Last night we finished up Psalm 51 in our Connect group. And David's really, he's caught in a situation where Nathan calls out his sin, and he's confessing to God, and it's pretty rough. It's very uncomfortable to hear David say some of the things that he says. But whenever I think about that, a comment was made that David seems selfish, and I think it's 16 and 17. David says, I need you to pretty much take away this sin, this blood guiltiness that mm-hmm. I have, and then I will proclaim your name, and then I will go out and tell everyone about you. Mm-hmm. And so a comment was made that David seems selfish to want this. Mm-hmm. And personally, and from studying, I don't believe that he's being selfish. I believe that he understands the weight of sin
sure.
and what sin does to somebody when they are unrepented of it. That they will then try to go out under their own will and power to their proclaim the gospel. But when we do it under the power of Christ, and we know how much he's forgiven us, it's so much more powerful.
Mm.
And so I'm thinking about that as we talk about having the interest of others. How do we as believers continue that mindset? Because it's a pretty weighty task, if I'm being honest, of always putting others first. We live in a very selfish, individualistic society. So what would be your encouragement to say, hey, how do we continue to have the mindset to put others first?
Well, you know, the challenge I gave to our church this past week was very very simple, but I think it's one that has the most power to actually affect people. And that challenge was pray this week about how God can use you to be a blessing and to encourage someone else in this coming week, and to prepare you as you gather together on a Sunday morning for the person that God is going to be using you to affect their life, you know? I think if we really want to see change in anything, change in ourselves, change in a situation, change in our work, change in our children, you know, change in our spiritual life or whatever, you know, it may sound cliche, but but it always begins with prayer. You know, it always has to start with, am I intentionally praying about this? And if I'm intentionally praying about this, I can count on what Jesus told me that, you know, what I believe for, what I ask for in prayer can and will be.
Yeah.
If I believe that in faith, you know.
And Jesus prayed that, right?
Right.
You see in his some of his final moments that Jesus prays.
Yes.
This morning I was reading John 17 where it's called the high priestly prayer where he's praying for his disciples.
Mm-hmm.
But then he gets to this moment in 20 where he says, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, and they may also be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Jesus prays for us,
right?
That we would be one. And so if Jesus is preparing the church for the future through prayer,
mm-hmm.
I think we should be as well.
Sure.
But I like what you talked about in the preparation for Sunday. Sunday should be the culmination of everything that's happened through the week, mm-hmm. whether that's prayer, study, fellowship. If we're not preparing ourselves for Sunday, then I think we miss out on a big blessing that God is, no pun intended, preparing for us mm-hmm. on a Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
To whether that's being for ourselves from an encouragement from someone or mm-hmm. for us to use our gifts to encourage the people around us.
Right. Yeah.
I think
it's critical.
But if we're not aware of that, if we're not during the week seeking that moment, then I think we miss out.
Yeah, I mean, it's like anything else in life. You know, if you don't prepare for a thing, well, quite frankly, that means you're not ready for it.
Yeah.
You know, you're very likely going to fall flat on your face. Well, you know, if we're coming to church and we're just kind of dragging ourselves in here Sunday after Sunday, well, then our worship is prepared to fall flat on its face. You know, our purposefulness in gathering is prepared to fall flat on its face. Lots of times you get what you put in, right?
Yeah.
And if you put in nothing, you might come away feeling on a Sunday, well, I don't think I really got anything out of that, or that message didn't really have anything for me, or yeah. I'm not even really sure why we came today. Well, yeah, what did you do to prepare yourself for worship? What did you do to prepare your mind, your heart, your soul? I just think, like, you know, one of my professors in Bible college, Dr. Melvin Steins, he was a great guy, and a counseling professor, but also a preacher. And so he would say in his prayers all the time, Lord, we've come today seeking, or we've come today expecting a blessing and seeking to be a blessing. All right. So we come today because we expect that you're going to bless us, but we've also come expecting that we will bless somebody else. Yeah. If that's, you know, your prayer throughout the week, then yeah, the Lord absolutely can and will move in that.
Yeah. Yeah. Church isn't like the new Chick-fil-A where you just go to be served or you go unexpecting to serve someone else. Mm-hmm. You go there for a service. And obviously the church is here to encourage you through the preaching and through worship, but we still have a role. At Chick-fil-A, we don't have a role. We just have to pay.
Yeah.
And we get a service. Just here, we have a role to serve as well.
Got
to
eat those nuggets.
You got to.
It's dip opening day in Jefferson. Dip them Polynesian sauce, man. Yeah. That's my jam.
I do like the Polynesian sauce.
That's the way you do it. Fries and you got to get extra Polynesian sauce, so you got enough for the fries and the nuggets.
Chicken nuggets, huh?
So, yeah.
You hit on what Paul talks about, the one body being many parts here in your sermon. I think it's important for us to kind of remind each other of that our role in the church isn't going to be the same as the person sitting next to you in the pew.
Right.
We may have different gifts. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what he leads on in that chapter, is that we all have different gifts. God has blessed us in different ways. And so we should use those gifts. We should use those to encourage the church. Mm-hmm. It should be pointed in the direction of love, as you'll see in the next chapter in mm-hmm. Corinthians 13.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
The one that's preached at every wedding.
That's right. yep,
sure is. That is sometimes out of context, but mm-hmm. We do it in such a way that we point people to Christ. And so whether that is if you're a teacher, if you are obviously an encourager, if you keep those things to yourself, what good does it do the church?
Right.
And you talk about it, you give the example of a baseball person that if you can pitch 100 miles an hour but never actually use that, then you would be seen as a waste.
That's right.
It's the same as our gifts in the church.
It is. I think, you know, I think too that we've each been given this set of individual gifts, and that's great. And we can use those individual gifts to bless others or to bless ourselves, and that's good. But the really cool thing about this is that when our gifts are brought together collectively as the church gathers and is physically together, then those gifts actually, they go from like good and powerful to being something that's way beyond because they're combined with everybody else's.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, there was a toy called Voltron. I don't know if you've ever heard of Voltron.
Is that a Transformer?
It was sort of like a Transformer, but they weren't Transformers so much as they could come together. So you had your individual Voltrons, and they had their own little power, and that was cool. Like, they could do stuff. But when they all came together, they made this giant, like, mech beast thing called Voltron. Right?
So for, like, all the millennials, it's the Megazord and Power Rangers.
Megazord, yeah. It's all that stuff, okay, right? Cool. So, you know, comes together. When they put all their little powers together or whatever, they become this really mighty force. And that's really the idea around what the church is. That, yeah, you know, your individual gifts can bless you. Your individual gifts are powerful. They're good. They can be used. You're going to grow. You can bless somebody. But when the whole church is working right, man, that's an amazing thing when all that comes together. And if you've been in the church any amount of time, you've seen that.
Yeah.
And you've seen the lack of it. Like, you've seen it when it's not working right.
Yeah.
You're like, man, this all feels like we're playing, you know, a game of tug of war, and one person's pulling that way and I'm pulling this way, and then there's one of those cross ropes and somebody's pulling the other direction. You know, that's we can see when it's not working right too.
Yeah, and I think you mentioned, as far as serving, whenever we're serving in areas that maybe not our gifts aren't being used, we can feel that.
Yes.
I mean, you don't want me in kids ministry for very long.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do it. I'll use my gift of maybe teaching, but there are other things within kids ministry that I'm just not good at.
Yeah.
And I don't have gifting. And I think over time I've developed a patience and a willingness to learn in those areas. Mm-hmm. But there are people out there that are so much more gifted than I am
right.
in those things.
Well, and they gain energy from it rather than drain their energy drained from it. And that can change in different seasons of ministry.
Correct.
You know, I've watched over the last 25 years, I've watched a lot of people go really gung-ho into a ministry, and it was the right thing for them in that season.
Yeah.
And I've watched people literally leave the church because rather than owning up to the fact that it was time for them to let go of a ministry because they were burnt out in that ministry, or because they no longer had passion for it, or every time they did it, it drained them. Rather than being honest with somebody about that, it was easier for them to just leave. Mm. Because they felt like they'd be a disappointment, or they felt like they were disappointing themselves or God.
Yeah.
You're much better off when you feel those feelings, and I hope everybody listening to this will pay attention. When you are feeling those feelings, you would be better off, and we will very much appreciate as leaders in the church that you bring that to us and let us help you find an area of ministry in the church that rather than draining you, starts to revitalize you and give you energy again. Yeah. It will recharge you to be in the right area of ministry for the right season of your life. Mm. It's really important that you have that conversation and don't feel like, well, you know, I know they really need volunteers in this area, but I just, every time I do this, I feel like I'm dragging myself to it, kicking and screaming. And by the end of it, you know, I am just so wiped out and exhausted. Now, this doesn't mean that sometimes you don't have to do hard things.
Yeah.
Sometimes working in the nursery is hard. Sometimes you will be tired at the end of it. That doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. It just means that you really have to examine yourself and check yourself and say, okay, is this just that temporary tired, you know, that I'm going to get just like if I go work in my yard? Doesn't mean I don't enjoy working in my yard, but there's a point where I'm tired and I need to take a break. Well, that's working in the nursery any Sunday, right? You just have to examine that stuff and be honest with yourself and be honest with the leaders about that and be honest with God about it.
Yeah. Well, and I think that if we're doing what you're talking about and being united, if we're doing what Jesus talks about here, that they would be as one, I think we're putting ourselves in a place for people to see that in ourselves and to have those open and honest conversations. Because it's really hard if you're just, I don't know, if you're serving maybe in an area and you're keeping that to yourself and then you're just leaving after church and there's no fellowship with anybody else.
Right.
And so it could be a myriad of things, but I find my wife sees this more in me than I see it in myself. Ahead of time, she does it. It takes me a while, probably because I'm hard-headed.
Mm.
But she'll tell me, hey, let's talk about this because it looks like either this is draining you or you're struggling getting this done or X, Y, and Z. Let's figure out why.
Mm-hmm.
And I think over time, our giftings and because of our experience, we can be better suited, like you're saying, for a different area.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Sure. I did youth ministry for the first 9 years of my ministry and loved it right up near towards the end, right? Mm-hmm. You know, that last 6 months, I knew that I was running on fumes.
Yeah.
And I knew that God was calling me into this next chapter of ministry that I never really saw coming. I mean, I always said, I'm never going to be a preacher. That sounds boring. I'm not going to sit around and write sermons all day and do, you know, all these kinds of things that I kind of dismissed.
Yeah.
But then when God gets a hold of you, and I just say for me, it was like God flipped a switch where suddenly all those things that I had not wanted to do previously, now I did. And all the things I had previously wanted to do, I didn't want to do.
Yeah.
You know, it used to be fun to go on overnight trips all the time with kids and go to, you know, Carowinds all day long and it'd be 100 degrees and, you know, that was the North Carolina version, go to Six Flags or whatever, right? And that was awesome. And that I actually got energy from that. Mm. Well, by the end, I didn't get energy from it. It was very clearly draining me, right? So this is, you know, look, we're all human and we're all much better off. And the kingdom work is much better off if we'll just be honest about that stuff rather than lie to ourselves and lie to others or not be man or woman enough to have a difficult conversation about why you feel like this isn't the right time for this season for you to be doing this thing. Now, what I would say is, there's a right season for you to be doing something.
Mm-hmm.
Don't use it as an excuse to just quit doing anything.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's the other thing people do is they just say, well, just forget it. I'm just not going to do anything. Well, that, you know, I don't see that in the Bible, right?
It's like the two extremes.
It is, you know. And you know, the reason why people get to that place where they're like, I'm just going to quit everything is because they stayed too long in the thing that drained them and they got nothing left. If you don't do things that way, you'll find yourself in a much better position to just shift your ministry into a new area for a new season rather than having to quit it cold turkey, because you just get to that place where you're like, if I have to do anything else for one more second, I'm just going to melt into a puddle in the floor.
Yeah, and I think it's our culture that we're either gung-ho about something or we're not going to do it at all.
Yeah.
And so those are dangerous things, and I think that we should not make light of that. But the whole reason that the church cannot be done with us is because we are the world's best form of hope.
Yep.
Like, the body of Christ is the image of Him being the light of the world. That is what's going to change people.
Mm-hmm.
And so if anything, the encouragement would be, hey, let's figure this out together, not for our sake,
mm-hmm.
which it helps us, but for the sake of the gospel.
Right.
Like, let's be one, let's be unified, let's be in an area where we are using our gifts, where we are pouring into each other, where we're allowing others to pour into us so that the whole world can have hope.
We are what Jesus is doing in the here and now.
Yep.
He's going to do it. He's going to build His church. That's not the question. The question is not, is Jesus's church going to be built? Well, yeah, it's absolutely going to be built because He promised it would be. The question is, are you going to be a part of it?
Yeah.
That's up to you.
Yep. You have a choice.
That's up to you.
Oh, anything else to add?
No, man, I think that really gets to the heart of it. I really do. I think this one, this series is a pretty straightforward, pretty plain language around, the expectations of what the church is, what we're supposed to be. That's really what we want to do. We just want to walk through why church still has value, why it still matters, and why it's so critical.
Yeah.
So we're going to keep doing that next 2 weeks.
So what you got going on? What are you excited for in the upcoming weeks?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I know right now in the forefront of my mind is Galilee Serve.
Yeah.
For years we did Serve the City, and it had a great impact in our community. COVID knocked that offline for a few years. And we were a little slow in bringing it back, but we feel like the time is right now, rebranding it, bringing it back as Galilee Serve. And it's just such a fundamental part of our mission. And I love, love, love the way it brings our church together. Mm-hmm. 150, however many people that are going to be coming together Saturday morning from our church to make an impact in this community, be the hands and feet of Jesus. Leave that positive impact in people's hearts and minds about, hey, there's a church that's not just about themselves.
Yeah.
There's church people that are not just thinking about themselves. Those church people are actually out doing something. And even if I don't, even if a person says, well, I don't really know about this church thing, or I don't really know about this whole Jesus thing, or I don't really know about church people, they're going to come away with a different picture because of the work, the energy, and the investment. So I can't help but be excited about that.
Yeah. It'll be a fun day.
How about you, man?
I had one person doing DG this week.
Yeah.
Which I love. I love getting to that one-on-one time with families.
DG is Discovering Galilee.
Discovering Galilee.
For folks that don't know, yeah.
Correct. I have three families.
Oh,
two
man.
Of them reached out recently, and I was like, let's come join on, the party.
More the merrier.
Yeah, so that's the stuff that fills me, that keeps me going. I enjoy talking about what we believe. I enjoy getting them plugged in to mm-hmm. connect group, to serving opportunity. So I'm excited about that this Sunday.
That's very exciting.
Yeah.
Pump for you. Pump for us, man. Pray the Lord keeps doing these great things in our church.
Yeah, it's exciting times. But we appreciate if you made it this far in the episode. And we'll see you guys next week.
See you then.